This is the September 27th chapel service. Speaker is Dr. Donna Forrester.
O ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, The Lord's name be praised. We'll stand and sing the hymn number 257, Where Charity and Love Prevail. We'll say our prayers. Startle us, O God, with your sharp word. Help us as a gathered community to be able to complete the things you have given us the wish to begin. In these special quiet moments, help us to wish for thee and to watch for thee and to wait for thee until the breaking of the day, through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Dr. Donna Forrester, our preacher for today, needs no introduction, especially to this community. However, I will present her to you, for as our chaplain, she is among a large number of courageous and committed Christian leaders who make me proud to be a part of Southeastern Seminary. You can see in your orders of worship that she has chosen two passages of Scripture, reading first from the 22nd chapter of Matthew, beginning with verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they came together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. From Romans 13, beginning with verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this sentence. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law.
ministers of all denominations, from the beginning of the early church through the ages, have preached on the Great Commandment. Children from way back in Sunbeams and GAs and RAs, all the way down to Sunday school and church training, have memorized it and quoted it for years. The Great Commandment has been the discussion topic of circle meetings and prayer groups and Bible studies. Seminary classes have studied its meaning, and you, no doubt, have been a part of one of these sessions where study was done on this great passage. So I ask myself the question, what do I have to say to you about these verses? What I have to say to you is really rather personal. It is quite different today than what I would have said 5 years ago, and different still from what I might have said 10 years ago. What I want to say is confessional evidence that God is still at work in my life, revealing himself to me in sometimes disturbing terms. My experience is proof somewhat that God has come not only to comfort the afflicted, but also to afflict the comfortable. I grew up in a home of Southern Baptist ministers. My father was a pastor and my mother was his co-minister, even though she didn't really carry that title. My father is a gifted preacher and pastor, and my mother is gifted with the nurture and education of preschool children, their parents, and their teachers. They just retired after 40 years of service to three Southern Baptist churches. But what I remember the most about their ministry and their life today is that they love God with all of their heart and with their minds and with every ounce of strength. Oh, they have their faults and their struggles, just like you and I do. But as a child and as an adult, I have never once questioned their devotion to the commandment to love God first. That's the kind of environment I grew up in. And I learned to love God as a small child because of the example that they set for me. I remember the night, as a child, that I made that commitment for myself and walked down what seemed to be a very long aisle. Loving God and becoming active in His church became a way of life for me. I honestly cannot remember a time in my life when I haven't been active in a Southern Baptist church. And since those early days of commitment, I really have never seriously questioned my love of God. I am also very grateful that I was given the freedom and taught to love God not only with my heart and my emotions, but also with my mind, including inquiry, doubts, and commitments. I was taught that God could handle whatever I was feeling or questioning, and that He welcomed my honest struggling with Him, because the results were my own tested faith and not the adopted faith of someone else. I must tell you that I feel closest to God when I give Him my utter, raw honesty, regardless of what it is, because it means that I trust Him with the truth. And He still loves me. I was taught and still believe that it is wrong to box God into the past. Rather, I must be open to God's working in the present and in the future in ways that might be different from the past. The relationship that I have with God is not stale or borrowed. It's mine, and it's real, vibrant, and growing. To me, that's what loving God with heart, mind, and soul is all about. And I do love Him. But I know, as you know, that I cannot separate love of God from service or love of others. The second part of this great commandment has equally been a part of my childhood on into the present. I learned to love others by watching my parents love with such trust and openness. I remember my dad taking me with him when he went to visit hospitals, and I was awed by his pastoral presence and the way that he was able to convey love in a time of crisis. I remember his crying when he had to go in and tell the husband of a young couple he had married that the man's bride of 4 weeks had just been killed in an automobile accident. I remember a particular time of conflict in one church when even as a child I was angered and hurt by things that people were saying and the way they were saying it. But I watched my dad, with hurt in his eyes, love those people through that conflict. And he never once jeopardized his ministry. I watched my mother patiently change the educational approach of parents and teachers to the real needs of preschoolers. And I watched her sacrifice many of her own worship needs until others were willing and able to carry on. I remember her willingness to open our home to others, and especially how my friends and the friends of my brothers were always welcome in our home. More often than not, there was an extra person or two at our table, especially on Sundays. And whoever was there shared in Bible study and prayer with us. I share this part of my history with you to help you understand how love of God and love of others has always been a part of who I am. I grew up wanting to be like my parents, wanting to love like they loved, wanting the kind of faith and peace that they seemed to have. So I became involved, and I mean involved, in every program of the church. I went through Queen with the Scepter in GAs. I participated in Bible sword drills and speakers tournaments. I helped plan and participate in youth weeks by teaching and preaching and serving. I got involved in service clubs at school. And when I graduated from high school, I overheard our principal say to my parents, "We'll miss the dear Abby of Eau Claire High." I really did love God and others, not because I felt obligated, but because I really wanted to. But I wasn't happy, and I didn't know why. I didn't have the peace and the joy and the acceptance that I knew I was supposed to feel, and I didn't know what to do. You know what's next, don't you? What I had grown to believe that this great commandment said was to love God and to love others better than you love yourself. Or to love God and love others in order to love yourself. So when Carlisle Marnie came to the BSU at the University of South Carolina, I was struck like thunder by his comments on the great commandment. What he said to those few of us who were sitting around in the lounge is that in response to love your neighbor as yourself, he said, "That's just the problem. We do love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And we don't love ourselves, so we treat our neighbors poorly too." That was very profound for me. And it started me on a path of 12 to 16 years that I have been struggling with what it means to love oneself. I want you to know that I have come a long way, but I'm sure that I still have a long way to go. One of the people from whom I have learned the most about loving is a Roman Catholic priest named John Powell. He has helped me examine my motives for loving. And I have come to believe that we must love ourselves. We must take care of ourselves. And yes, even get to know ourselves at times before we can reach out with any kind of unconditional love for others. Unconditional love is a free gift. It doesn't have to be earned or bought or repaid. People ask me constantly, how do I go about learning to love myself? I believe that in order to love ourselves, we must first be loved. That's why I'm so glad I'm a Christian, because I can love myself, because God loved me first. Almost 2 years ago, I was preaching at the Unitarian Fellowship in Raleigh, and a professed atheist wanted to debate with me about whether or not my belief in God was necessary to love oneself and to love others. I shared with him my belief that my worth and value as a human being comes as a free gift of God's love, and that's what enables me to love myself and to love other people. And I couldn't do it without that first feeling of love. A clinical psychologist who was in that group, whom I knew to be agnostic, stood up and solemnly said to that whole congregation, "That's what makes your job as a pastoral counselor easier than my job as a clinical psychologist. I don't have that basis to work from." And he was right. But I have a theory that you and I as Christians a lot of times really don't believe in the grace of God. Think about how hard we work to earn His love that's already given to us as a free gift. And it's hard to accept, and even harder to understand, that we don't have to change or grow or be good in order to be loved, but rather we are loved so that we can change and grow and be good. The more I deal with myself and learn to love myself, the more I am able to love my God and to love my neighbor. I am learning how to remove the barriers to my loving. And my barriers may be different than yours, but they have to come down. My personal relationship to God has never been better than it is right now. And I am more emotionally available to other people than I ever have been before. I'm not all the way there, and I don't want you to think I am. There are days that are easier than others, but I know that God has not finished with me yet, and He is still teaching me how to love. What I am discovering is that the more real and authentic way that this great commandment becomes a part of my life, it has become the theme and the philosophy of my ministry. I want to keep working on myself so that I can learn to love God and other people like Jesus did. I want to learn how to love my enemies, not with lip service alone, but with my heart. I want to learn to love the people who think I don't belong just because I'm female. I want to love those who think differently than I do. I want to love like Jesus did from the cross, when He looked down and said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." I want to love like that. And I believe that my ministry here on this campus is to love you, to listen to your pain, to walk with you through your struggles to grow, to laugh with you and to play. But especially, I think my ministry to this campus is to mirror for you what God sees, that you might learn to love yourself and see your unique, unrepeatable value and worth as a child of God. With all of my heart, I believe that when I meet Jesus on the day of judgment, he's not going to ask me which school I went to. He's not going to ask me how many people came to hear me preach. He's not going to ask me what degrees I have or credentials I do or do not have hanging on my wall. I believe that when I meet my master face to face, what he's going to say to me is, "Donna, did you love? Did you love God with your heart and with your mind and with your strength? Did you love your neighbor? And Donna, did you love yourself?" If he were to ask you that question today, what would your answer be? Let us pray. God, love is a hard thing to grasp. Love of ourselves is even harder. Be patient with us and love us still, that we might learn that we are children of you and that you have given us value and worth and loved us dearly. In your name we pray. Amen. Turn with me, if you will, to responsive reading number 607. We're going to read this passage in unison. Let us stand. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mystery, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became an adult, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, But then I shall know even as I am also known. And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Let us sing our response. Go now in the peace and the love of God the Father. Love God with your heart and your mind and your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Amen.